By what hip hop does, okay. And current MCs claim that it's not love. Cause nowadays hip hop ain't shit but a bunch of thugs. They wanna be what Tupac would speak, ignoring his words. You need you off the street. You may have brought the heat, but it was brought with honesty. Now it's obsolete cause of these whack ass mockeries. Acting someone else to me feels ignorant. You could be as real as him, but still be different. I've never been shot at or even seen a million. But we're similar cause we speak the weakness. I'm not from the projects, I've ever been to prison. But I've been oppressed by the man's federal system. Skeptical is a takeaway from my day-to-day living. But understand, it goes both ways with racism.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various. Ain't no Eminem and I won't pretend to be. This ain't meant for him, nor is it meant for me. It's expressed to those who hate by labeling. Haters better get to know me before you say these things. Enabling these fake fucks to grow and build. I'm judging a man by color, not the growth of his skills. I'm scoping to kill any corporate businesses who promote racism split too, cause they're different. Ignorance is bliss, but don't exist when I'm ripping shit. And don't think I won't get at you cause I'm melanin deficient. I'm not rich yet, but I possess the right equipment to lift your images, prove your bitch is too timid. Too sick to swim with, like I sip the illest liquid. So when I give the gift, listen before you start dissing. Cause this is hip hop, a multicolored prison. No more bullshitting, just knowledge, turn wisdom.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various.
Yes, fight for freedom or fight for what you believe in. But contradiction is what keeps the fight even. What you hate in someone else is something you hate in yourself. And when you're hating yourself, you're just breaking your health. Might be making your wealth, but you're just mistaking yourself. What's the greatness when only hatred is felt? This fight is ageless and it's embracing the belt. Which side are you taking at the ring of the bell? Good and evil in different hoods and people looks. All deceitful book covers aren't always see-through. You should read through the book before passing the judgment. The color of my skin only distracts away from my substance. May this be the only song I ever have to come with. Cause racism is a subject that most can't stomach. I suppose that's cause it's degrading one another. In the end, please present me by my culture, not my color.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various. We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all gods, just remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us.
Remember all gods, children remain various.
Remember all gods, children remain various.
Hello, everybody that is not listening. It is I, the omnipotent, the omnivorous, the omnifarious.
Shut the fuck up, Mom.
My bad, let's get on the show then. For better or worse, until the worst gets better. I'ma let you release to an ease the pressure. Yeah. A solo member got still with no contenders. Who don't remember the future, but predict the past. Makes hits off wax, gets rich off trash. Get shits on cash and takes hits off stash. I give the one-man crowd a very loud silence. A heroic violence, so only the broken violence. A logical artist with the stupid smartness. I live to love and I love to be heartless.
standing still, but my words keep on marching. I keep it moving so I can stop starving. Driving on parkways, but on driveways I'm parking softly hardened, cause this is hardly easy. Picking up tapes and dropping cheap CDs, the price you pay for these expensive freebies.
I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit, I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent, contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of the story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist. I'm leading the followers by following the leader. I'm eating these swallowers that fight like a teacher. I'm teaching students to be the student teacher while listening to the mic and rapping through the speakers. I'm preaching to the sheepherd of atheistic believers. I rehearse each verse and listen when I speak. Do both at once, cause everything's the same. Rearrange with different names, yo, the yin and the yang. My underground's in the main, cause it's hot like I'm on top like, but not in the spotlight. I rock like I'm giving you a burning frostbite. A humble ego that's hella dope, but it's not tight. I get you confused like two dogs in a cat fight. Mad nights, black, white, mixed into gray. I brought the extra medium on yesterday, tomorrow. Happy sorrow, so have yourself a good, bad day. I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit. I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent. Contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of the story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist. I'm a veteran rookie that's better than nothing. I'm doomed to be lucky and tell the truth by bluffing. A pretty ugly, one-sided discussion. A perfect human disguised as a democratic republican. Bringing chaotic order to this unequally free government. Pay taxes, be ever money spent before I have a touch of it. I hate loving it, but I love to hate it. My calm adrenaline rush leaves me soberly sedated. The thought of freedom is the one unspoken statement. The real fakeness that keeps the world the same changes. The same faces remain faceless, same cages remain slaveless. Reading pages filled up with the same blankness. A light heavyweight spitting his written freestyle. Who am I kidding? I won't admit it, but I'm in denial. Deeply shallow, overly crazy, never be maybe. Every day he's patiently waiting like he's aggressively lazy. I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit. I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent. Contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of the story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist. Pessimist. Pessimist.
Wow, man, that was Cooking from Omni, man. I'll tell you, he's got some serious music. And speaking of which, he's going to be on my show today. He's my special guest. And this is yours truly, Andrew Fetter, and welcome everybody to When Pigs Fly. Almost feels like Halloween is upon us. I feel like that vampire-ness coming out of me. Too bad I can't do a show right before Halloween. I'll be too busy flying around. Speaking of which, I got a lot of stuff to talk about, and to coming up, some good opportunities are coming around. And speaking of the opportunity of America, by the way, vote for change. Make sure you do the American thing. This is more my American listeners. Your vote does count, so get in there, make your choice, push that button, pull that lever, make it happen. Now, I also just let everybody know, I'm having several signing events. Here in Las Vegas, I'm coming here from Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City of the World, where your money stays here and doesn't go anywhere but stays. I'm having a couple of several events, one of which I'm having a very special event tomorrow at the Psychic Guide Bookstore at 6848 West Charleston, and I'll be doing events there and as well on November 8th at Barnes Noble, 567 North Stephanie, and that's in Henderson. That's just next to Las Vegas, for those who are not aware of that. I'm also doing one on November 15th at Borders at Town Square, 6521 Las Vegas Boulevard. Of course, that's on the Strip, south of, Russell. And also, I'm doing one on November 22nd at Barnes Noble, 8915 West Charleston, west side of town at Summerlin. So do come over, shoot the blues, tell me what's up, how you guys feel about stuff. And of course, you can always check out my site for my newly released book, The Heretic, at andrewtheheretic.com. And please do check out, at your convenience, my blog site, www.andrew.myufo.com. And if you guys also have any questions for past shows, future shows, we'll discuss spiritual stuff like out-of-body or regression, thoughts or things, Kabbalah, you name it, talk about it, politics, religion, UFOs, please do contact me. You can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com or MySpace, /AndrewFetter. Now, also, I was going to let you all aware, I know you heard from my past show with Ben Yosef, I'm going to have, from my understanding, we have confirmed a December 10th date where I'm going to have him back, and I'm pleased and honored to have the Apache spiritual leader, Jimmy Ten Rivers, who will be on my show to discuss the skull of Geronimo and how it was abscanded by Prescott Bush, George Bush's grandfather, and how they're trying to retrieve that, as well as his experience with the great-granddaughter of Geronimo, Ada Fast Horse, and all that. But speaking of which, I have a very special guest, which I told you about. He's probably heard a lot of his music played on my show a lot, because I think he's very well ahead of his game. He puts a lot of himself within his music. I think he's incorporated from his hip-hop to a lot of genres. You can hear it within his music. And I'm pleased to welcome on my show, Omni. How you doing, Omni?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Andrew?
Doing great, man. Well, I got to ask you, though. You know, everybody wonders, you know, when they talk to musicians, you see a little, like, label, see a CD and all that, but they don't know where they're coming from. So in a little respect, can you tell us a little about yourself? Like, where you're from?
Born and raised in Las Vegas, 28 years as of tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Thank you. As for my music, my background is, it goes way back. You know, my father bringing me up on jazz, funk, classical rock, you know, rock and all that. So I learned my music there. But being the age group I grew up in, hip-hop was more my base, more my genre for people my age. And my ultimate goal was to mix the two.
Which two genres between hip-hop
basically live music with hip-hop. Hip-hop, it's taken a bad rap because a lot of it isn't played live. People sample stuff from old musicians and bring it newer, sample it, and make beats out of it. I'm trying to incorporate both at the same time.
So you're basically going back to the old school, back in the days of Beastie Boys, when they played live music, and then it basically merged the genres of rock and R&B and jazz and whatever.
Correct.
Into creating the original, actually, hip-hop.
yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned you know, how you came about in music, but what made you want to? Because, you know, it's one thing, you know, being around music as an artist. What made you want to get into music? I mean, did you just naturally, just like a magnet? What made you
get
into
it? It was natural from day one. It was natural from day one. I like playing music. I've learned how to play guitar, viola, violin, cello, synthesizer. Pretty much since day one. I wrote my first lyrics in second grade, which I won the songwriting contest of the entire school. It was posted downtown at the Meadows Mall. Actually got paid for it, so I got paid for the first, you know, rhymes I ever wrote. And,
how old were you when you did that?
Second grade, so
wow.
seven years old.
Wow, so you're basically born like a little Stevie Wonder.
I wouldn't go that far. That guy's a prodigy, but yeah, since day one, I've loved listening to music. It's, you know, the one thing on the planet that can change your mood anytime, any day. You could have the worst day in the world, throw on your favorite song, and it'll make all worries drop out. And
So music is sort of your elixir too, sort of like get you, from the worries of the day. Most people listen to music to separate themselves from, you know, their immediate surroundings, from, let's say, a hard day at work or problems with their boss or employee, vice versa, or,
right.
you know, immediate financial situations or family
right.
situations. So it's basically a relaxing thing, as well as, you know, a deviation from, you know, to give yourself like a mini vacation, in other words.
Yeah, definitely.
But I know, like, a lot of your style and stuff, a lot of you put in there, man. It's like, you know, a lot of present-day hip-hop is all about me, and bling, 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 and how much I can hit it on that booty and this and that.
Right. That's where hip-hop has lost its way in the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years. It's definitely taken a bad turn.
But you put a little bit of rage in the machine in your music. You got a lot of social, political element in your words. I mean, you're really like, this is, you know, like even racial barriers, you try to cross lines. I'm trying to show that there is nothing black or white, green or yellow in music, and it seems like you're trying to incorporate not just in music, but everybody's, you know, making people face themselves.
Yeah, and I discuss on things a lot of people have problems discussing for whatever the reason being, but it's stuff that needs to be talked about, needs to be brought out, and I think the world should take a listen and put their efforts forth in the same way.
Well, what would you like to, what are you trying to bring out?
Honesty. Whatever it may be in any single person, we can't fix a problem if people don't know honesty, and they don't speak honest, then we can't fix a problem. You don't truly know what the problem is.
No. I understand you're Native American, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what tribe are you from?
Tlingit, Tlingit, Native Alaskan, off the islands of Huna and Ketchikan in Alaska.
Have you been back to your...
No, I haven't. I wish I could go there, but as of right now, finances and work doesn't allow for that.
I bet you would love to do that, though.
Oh, definitely. As soon as the opportunity arises, that's definitely that would be one of the first places I'd love to travel to.
And do you still keep your spirituality of the Native Americans, whether it's that tribe or...
Oh, definitely. My mother is a part of the Native American Council here in Vegas, which is a uniting of all Native American tribes that are here. And I've gone to many sweat lodges. Lakota is the main one, because that's the main ones that are ran out of Vegas. Been to a couple sun dances, and those are held out of, you know, Phoenix and elsewhere.
So you get very involved with all the, I guess they call them powwows when they get the major gatherings?
Oh, sure, yes.
Because I remember they used to have those down in L.A. and Santa Monica. Yeah, some major events. So what do so you're very spiritual in a sense. Do you do, like, from the sweat lodges, what other ceremonies do you incorporate?
Have not been a part of, but I've witnessed sun dances, the Tree of Life, and various different rituals. I really much take to the Native American ways of prayer, because it's not saying our way is right, your way is wrong. It's every way is open, and it's open for discussion. And that's pretty much where I come across on my music as well, as we as people, you know, we might be different, but we do need to communicate and understand one another whether we agree or not.
Hmm.
And that's what I very much like about the way Native Americans have always, you know, held their rituals. You know, the first sweat lodge I ever went to, I mean, there was a Shaolin priest, a Buddhist, a couple Catholics, Christians, and the rest were all Native Americans. And everybody seemed to be able to unite and create a common bond between each other.
And that
was very impressive for me.
Yeah, and they realized that we're all the part of the same thing.
Yes.
Which is, going back to your music, it seems like that's what you're trying to, you know, hold the mirror up at the same time. Because I think But I think within your music, you're trying to, you know, first, about when you talk about honesty, people have to be, you know, come to awareness of their situation, you know, come to, you know, take the responsibility of what they say and do, as well as looking upon themselves. And then from that, then you, once they're aware of it, this is the next step to act upon it. But if they're not aware of it, they'll sit there and continue the same things. Or if they're not honest about it, like, they don't face the music. You know, a lot of people just want to, you know, live the lie of the lie and tell the lie. And then mm-hmm. they also have, I know it's in your music, which I thought was really great, the double standards that a lot of people play. It's like, my way, I can say it, but you can't say it.
I
can do this, but you can't do that.
Exactly.
And it goes flip-flop two ways, and which is really great, because, you know, I had a guest on a while back. Actually, it was it was called The Assumptions, and he actually pointed out within his book, and he went all around the world, that sort of the same scenario, which is, but you incorporate what he put in a book, you put in your music, which I think is absolutely great. Let me ask you this, you know, besides getting into, you know, I don't want to get too divulged into some of the stuff, but how do you incorporate have you utilized any Native American beats or music within your music, or you plan to, or?
I actually have, yeah, I have a lot of that music saved up, but it's stuff that that's a painting that I'm waiting to complete before I put that out. A lot of it I do have, beat-wise, and because I do produce and I write lyrics, and I do have a lot of that, but that's a special painting that I'm waiting for it to be complete before I let that out to the public. But yes, I do have an album that's going to be fully Native American based, yes.
And I understand you're right now in the process of recording, you're going live, and which we'll announce later again, at the Aruba, I guess that's, what day is that, November?
November 7th, the first Friday of November, at the Aruba, downtown Charleston, Las Vegas Boulevard.
So, hey, anybody here in Vegas, go see it, and those, you know, outside Vegas on your way, circle your calendar. Now, you are going to be in the process, you're right now, I understand you're in the process of your own, the recording of your music that hasn't been released, so this is like fresh music, even if they hear it live. Then it's going. You're in the process of recording that. Is that correct?
Correct. The way this all came about is it's a lot of stuff that I had produced on my own, and I've ran into various musicians that all want to be a part of the same thing and put out the same music. So, what I have recorded now is all going to be changed up because it is now going to be recorded live, put on CD. Probably within about 2 to 3 months, we'll have that ready to go.
Oh, that's cool. So. And you've already, can you name them, some of the musicians that you're going to have, or who you are?
Yes. We have Jay Castellano on drums, brilliant drummer, excellent drummer, actually. And he takes what I've done percussion-wise with a beat machine, which you can only do so much with, and he's really put the live touch to it, put his own touch to it, makes it really nice. Pat is our bassist. He's based out of Arizona. And E-Note, which is our guitarist and slash other MC, she's out of California. So that's the other trick to our bandmate. The reason it's taken so long is we're all from separate states, all having to unite to rehearse, record, and the whole nine yards. So that's the tricky part of the whole band thing, but it is coming together very solid.
That's cool. That's excellent. So just in the, and how long has this been going on since, I know that you were established with another group but or association, and then you broke away and then went back onto your own to develop your music, and it seems like you've when you started doing that, I guess the universe sort of provided you, here are some musicians who can work with you as well. Does that seem like what it unfolded? Like it was sort of.
Yeah, the group I was with before, you know, it started off all great, but as soon as people came to him with money saying, if you do it this way, you'll make this much money, and, you know, the politics of music, that's where it went, and I wasn't for that. When I make music to make music, not to make money. If I happen to make money off of it, that would be great, but that's not my goal with it at all. And that's where they went, so I had to separate myself from that situation. And went ahead and went on with my life and did some things, and I got back into the music, and it felt great finally to make music for music, not because of what somebody wants to pay you to do. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it does. I mean, it's getting real, you know, what you... You know, first of all, you got to enjoy what you're doing, and if you're, I think, as an artist, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. And that's not just any artist, that's any profession, anything you're doing.
Right.
If you don't like it, why the hell are you doing it? You know, you gotta, you know, money comes and goes, but you gotta, life goes by fast, but you gotta enjoy what you're doing. And, you know, essentially, you know, it'll be in its own success, whether it's, becomes major or minor, it's always a success as long as it's, you know, coming from the heart and it's truthful.
Well, I would be much more satisfied changing someone's life with something I said versus taking money for something that nobody will ever take anything out of is pretty much where it comes from.
Exactly. You know, you'll get, I feel you get rewarded in a different way, you know.
Oh, definitely. It's, yeah, yeah, 100%.
You know, I mean, I've noticed that. When I first did my own thing, you know, it was hard, and then I get, all of a sudden, this is taken care of, and then this is taken care of, and then, you know, I don't really worry about finances because I know I'm just working what I'm supposed to do, and then what I need is always taken care of. So, no matter whatever happens, you know, don't worry. People go, hey, how come you never worry about the economy? Because I said, that's not worry. I don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, I watch other people around me get worried about it, but I never, because, if you do your thing and you do try to do the best you can, and you know, try to, you know, like there's a thing called throw the little pebble in the water, and you know, making a little difference. You know, they always say that when you come in this world, you make a difference. Just don't eat and shit and come back. You got to make a difference in your upon yourself as well as those around your surroundings around you for the better. And if you do that, it'll multiply. It's, you know, and by the way, the fact that actually does happen. I mean, you know, when you do creating your music, you're creating a positive vibration.
Right.
That stuff is spiritually actually affecting people positively. It's changing them.
Yeah, that was something I was always told growing up, you know, through my father playing music, is a musician is one of the closest things a person can do to being God, being the fact that you could never meet me, never know me, but one song I could create can allow you to cry, can allow you to laugh, can allow you to be angry. You have somewhat of a control on other people's emotions, being able to touch them without even being introduced to them, all the way across. So even through another language, you might not understand what I'm saying, but you feel my emotion through the beat I made and the way I'm expressing myself. You can affect someone's emotions without ever meeting them. Knowing they exist, you still have that effect on someone's life, and that, to me, is very powerful. And that's why I'm very, I'm proud of hip-hop, but I'm ashamed of hip-hop at the same time, because the emotions that are being thrown out there, and being that the youth is listening, is affecting the future of our country, whether they, or not our country, the world. Whether we realize it or not, as musicians, you're still affecting, you know, certain people out there. So be careful what you put out, because you can affect the world in a negative way if you use it for the wrong reasons. And that's something I believe true to my heart.
So you feel like, almost like a Bob Dylan within the hip hop?
I wouldn't put it that far, but yeah.
I mean, because basically he was a folk, and then when he came off, I mean, there's all the Guthrie, and then, but he came out very much out of the blue, just really saying, hey, you know, these times are changing. Oh, boy, is that happening. And then putting it straight out to people, which, you know, they didn't really shocked about some of the ways he would say certain things. And then
right.
I realized it was back in the 60s. Or Lenny Bruce. I mean, here he came off and told how things are, and he got arrested for how many times till he, you know, they did with him.
Right.
So you feel like you're like I said, like the becoming a Bob Dylan within the hip hop and making a difference. You know, it's sort of weird because I remember I did worked with Rage Against the Machine way back when I didn't even know who they were. I worked on one of their videos a long time ago. Came back and go, hey, Rachel, my daughter. Go tell her, you know, I worked on a set for the last 2 days on a group I never heard of them. Rage Against the Machine, they play live, and it's Rage Against the Machine. She went nuts. And while I was talking to the drummer, I became pretty good friends. We were talking, and I says, you know, you guys really put a lot of politics. This is the one thing you're in your face type of stuff. And it was unique because a lot of, you know, rock and rollers and people are then they're like more alt rock, but I know some musicians they get an idea of being into this industry of the idea of money. You know, you ask a lot of musicians, hey, what do you do this? Oh, because the money and the girls and the fame. And
right.
They're looking, I think, in the wrong way. And they don't realize all the people who came before them got into the business, you know, and happened to make money, but they did it not for the fame, but for a message. I mean, if you go down the line from Jimi Hendrix to the Beatles to the Stones, yeah, they became successful. But they did it because they enjoyed it. I mean, come on. Do you think Mick Jagger really needs the money? But they still, the guy's like 60-some-odd years old, and they go on tours. Because they just enjoy it. I think Madonna, you know, whatever you can say about her, I mean, she's a great businesswoman, but she doesn't need to go on a tour.
She still does it
because they enjoy it. People don't get that. And that's why they became big and people, I think, in the music industry who try to get, because I have a lot of family in the music industry from my mom's side, and they all said the same thing. Everybody jumps in, you know, for the money, and they're thinking they're the producer or the record label, but they're not. They're the musician, so you have to think like a business person, you know, because you got to market your art as an artist. That's important. Otherwise, if you don't get your market your you know, if you don't become Paul amongst the Christians, let's say, and market your ideology, then nobody will ever hear your music or anything. So you definitely have to do that.
Right.
But the same token, do, like what you're saying, do what you enjoy and do it for the sake of making a difference and saying something. Not say, hey, man, I got this woman this yesterday and I got more gold and I got a cool Cadillac and I got my 10s and I got my 20s and, you know,
yeah,
that's like...
exactly. That's where hip-hop I'm not too fond of is where it's become a competition. You know, you've heard of a battle. It's cool to test your skills, but to consider yourself, you know, trying to be the best of a music, which there's no such thing, because music's a matter of opinion, and what you think is great might be different from what I think is great. So for our two favorite artists to battle to see who's better doesn't change your opinion nor my opinion. And that's the part of hip-hop that's getting to be where I can't stand it, because you cannot... I just don't believe there's such thing as a best when it comes to an art form.
And because that's almost like what happened to in rock and roll, to tell you the truth. I remember rock, I mean, people forget, first of all, it's really R&B. That's real R&B, rhythm and blues.
Right.
People mix up the genres of R&B when they hear they call now R&B, like, and they think they're playing soul, like Alicia Keys is really playing soul.
Right.
But real R&B is rock and roll, and they changed it, the name, just because of a racial thing, whatever you
right.
want all history. It was, because they didn't want to say R&B, it was called the black music. So they call it rock and roll when Elvis did it.
Right.
But as time went through, the 60s and 70s, then it peaked, and then people saw how much money there was being made in the music industry. Then it became the Kiss, the fabricated, Alice Cooper's all right, but I mean, they made the theatrics more than the theatrics. They did it for the money as opposed to what they're really trying to convey. And it seemed like in the late 70s, that's when rock and roll went on the deep end, and then it really got, I mean, they had came out with some decent music during the 80s, but it was really about making money. It was nothing really said during the 80s and 80s music. It was party music, you know?
Right.
And then it went into a void, and I almost feel like the same thing. Hip-hop originally came about back in the 70s, late 70s, and then got colored out, pushed aside because of gangster rap, if you want. You know, it became real popular during the 90s amongst
right.
the youth. And then when hip-hop came back, people don't even know what hip-hop is. I mean, I hear talk to people, and they think hip-hop is... They mix up between what's hip-hop and what's rap. And it seems to have lost its game, because gangster rap, which is talking about, you know, they're voicing their... basically their own micro-political things, which is about, you know, my side is better than your side type of
right.
BS, gang bullshit. And then when hip-hop came out, it was more popular, I think, in the last decade. And a lot, I think, had to do, actually, ironically, with Eminem making it more mainstream again. And he was presenting a lot of messages within his music. People jumped on the bandwagon and trying to be Eminem, but they went back to it's me music as opposed
right.
to all of us music. And so it seems like you're going back and bringing it back to what it was. And rock and roll is sort of the same thing, because I hear a lot of artists trying to reinvent and bring back rock and roll to its roots, to what it was. You know, and I don't think roots going backwards and something negative, but roots going back to doing the music for the music and trying to make a statement, as opposed to just how much bling I can make or how many girls I can hit that night.
Right.
You know, so that's basically what it sounds like where you're trying to, you know, in your own music. But I'm going to ask you, how... are there any specific, like, you know, every as an artist or a writer or whatever, what particular artist influenced you the most, or, you know?
Well,
like,
first and foremost would be my father. He played music for over 30 years, 12 string guitar and sang. So I grew up, you know, he was in a band for the first few years of my life. So I grew up with that. My brother, he played violin, was in a big... orchestra. So those were my two main. Now in the music, it would be people like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Run DMC, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, a lot of the original founders of hip hop, as well as soul, R&B, rock. Steely Dan, that's probably my biggest favorite band of all time. So it comes from every direction. I could go on probably for the rest of this interview and give you all the people that have influenced me, but I'd say those were my main ones right there.
And do you have any, but when you put down hip hop, let's say, and that kind of, that genre of music, is that, if you like, okay, when you sit down, you want to pop in a CD, what do you listen to mostly? Do you just, or is a or just a simple combination of music?
Say that one more time, Andy.
Like when you listen to, you know, some people get more, I know musicians, it's sort of funny because you'd be surprised. Like I know some who play some act out metal music, and actually the music they sit home and they listen to is something like they'll listen to Beethoven or Mozart, literally. And then
right.
You see them on stage, and they'll be cranking out this heavy-duty metal stuff, and you'd be, wow, and they'll be going, the gothic, you know, screaming, and they come home, and they're listening to Mozart, and I was like, wow.
Right.
So I was just curious what you listen to when you're not, you know, listening to hip-hop.
It depends on the day, depends on the mood, and depends on what I'm doing, Andy. I don't discriminate. I listen to everything. Anything and everything that has a tone, a sound, and it's harmonious to a certain degree, yeah, that's what I listen to.
Including country.
Yeah, actually, yeah, there is country out there I do like.
And you definitely, and then you play it backwards, so then you do get.
Then I get everything back, right.
Yeah, see, the only thing I mean, I like Elmo's music except for it's hard. I like it's not the only country I really get into is personally is Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash. I hate Hank Williams. That's just from I knew somebody used to play it over and over and over and over again, and you know that it's that downer music for me, and it's over to me. But there are a lot of country I do like, which is like the Marshall Tucker type of stuff.
Right. For me, as long as somebody's laying out their honest emotions, saying how they feel, for me, that it can't be wrong, and I'll always take a listen. Whether I agree or I dislike or like what I still have an appreciation for whatever I listen to. So, I mean, really, I listen to any and everything out there, pretty much.
So when you put together, like, a music, let's say, now you're doing a live band, and that's sort of getting a little technical, because I know, like rock and roll, you have a 4-beat. Do you play 4-beat within your?
Yeah, that's pretty much that's the basic beat behind everything. That's I mean, just about all hip hop is that way, broken down.
So how would you put a blues? Because sometimes blues goes into a 3-beat.
Well, that's the wonderful world of sampling, editing, speeding up, slowing down, stretching, skewing, effects. That's where the fun of the synthesizer and sampling machines comes into play. And that's where the difficulty of hip-hop that a lot of people don't recognize, because, you know, a lot of people say, you just take this, you put a beat together, you put them together, and that's it. It's not always that way. A lot of hip-hop is very tricky, and true producers, it's a talent. It really is. And a lot of people don't recognize it because they think you just take one thing and you put it over something else, and there you go. There's a lot of tips and tricks that go along with producing hip-hop music.
And that's producing but you're doing it live, so that's even, I think that would be a lot harder. I mean, it's one thing, and I understand the complication of sitting there and taking all these tracks and merging them together.
Right.
And make it, but to do it live, because then you have to have, I mean, you don't sit there like, you know, with a little puppet strings and go, okay, Jay, now you do this with drums, and you tell Pat, do this on, I believe, it was a bass.
Right. Well, that's where what we're doing, especially in the show coming up, it's one of the most difficult shows I've ever seen before. Because in hip hop, like you said, I'd say 90% of the time you're going to hear sampled stuff where it's a DJ up there with CDs and turntables, and he cues everything, and then the MC will revolve around that. But there's also live hip hop, as in the Beastie Boys, where everything is straight live. Well, what I do is I produce and sample everything I need to have sampled. I play whatever I need to have played, bring it in. I show it to the bassist, and I show it to the guitarist, and I show it to the drummer. They sit there and break down what they can break down. Then I go back into the studio, take out the drum tracks, take out the bass lines, take out all the guitar tracks so they know where they're supposed to be, and then I go back in with a sampled CD. So now you have a CD that will start, will play, will only have certain sounds that, you know, you don't get out of a guitar, a bass, or drums. And then you have the live musicians play around that, which is very difficult because a live band, when they play together, if a mistake is made, the chemistry should be there. They'll be able to pick it up. Well, when a mistake is made here, there's no picking it up because that CD keeps on going at the same exact speed that it started at. So the live musicians, they have to be really tricky and revolve around what's being played on the CD. There's no room for error, basically.
So you basically classically do it the old school way. You put down your lyrics, and then you work around the melody, if you want to call it that, around it, and the harmonics around it. And then that's how you get your music behind that, and that's how you get your live instruments then behind that.
Correct.
So you already set up your harmonics with the group. But how do they know what harmonics to play in your...
Well, I play them what everything would sound like as a whole. I put my bass lines in there, I put my drum lines, I put my guitar lines that I make with my musical equipment at home. Bring
you
it into them.
Here's sort of like what I want, and then you guys.
Yeah, I give them the bass. I give them the bass of an entire song, and then they revolve around that.
So basically, in a way, you do is like an artist would do. Here's a sketch. I have all the basically. It's basically black and white. Now I want you guys to add in the color around it, the feel,
exactly,
and make it smoother. Like the artist would keep on molding his sculpture until they're fine. Now doing that. When you do that, though, when they play, I know, cause, and the people don't even pick this up, though, when you hear a lot of live, you know, recorded music, and it's played one way, and then they go and they hear it all the time on an album over and over again, or an album, now I'm sounding old, like I'm old, a CD, but when you hear it over and over again, and then they go and hear the concert live, and it's different, because, you know, they don't sit there and play the same, even the same pace exactly, you know.
Right, exactly.
And so it's different, and people, well, that's not what I heard on the CD, you know. So, but in a sense, what you're doing when you're doing a live track, that's going to be really interesting seeing how you guys start, when you guys are recording it, to put it from live into in a studio form. That's probably going to be, you guys are going to be working hours, man.
Oh, yeah. A lot of time I'm going to have to put into this, yeah. Definitely.
And have patience.
Yes, a big time.
Yeah. No, I want it up. No, I want that faster. No, pick up.
But fortunate for me, the musicians I'm working with, especially the drummer and the bassist, they are phenomenal, phenomenal musicians. It's been a lot easier than I predicted it to be. It's coming together actually very, very, very well. I'm looking forward to this, you know, this performance coming up.
And what songs are you going to be playing on that venue?
We've got a total, I believe, of 9 tracks. The first 5-6 minutes is going to be all live, just straight bass and drums and me performing freestyle lyrics. And then after that, we've got, I think it's 8 recorded tracks that we're going to be performing. Racial Barriers, that's going to be at the end of my set. I am going to be performing that. I decided that a couple days ago. We're throwing that in. A lot of it is music that I have not put out on my MySpace nor out into the industry yet. So
you know that song I've been getting a lot of response to. By the way, I mean I played it a lot, and you know it comes to even in these particular times, especially now the election, you know, where some racial tones have been brought up, and that really puts a lot of things. And not just from here, around the world, people are looking at. I have gotten responses from Australia to even now Germany. They're really fascinated by that. You know, it's sort of funny because people don't realize people are watching America, and it's sort of a reflection of the, you know, themselves on how they look at things.
Right.
And it's funny when I hear people listen to music and things here, and it goes overseas, how they look at things. How do you feel about that? Because I like to see, for example, when I came to my first book, When the Angels Have Risen. I didn't really have much real heavy response in the U.S., but I have a big one overseas, especially in the U.K. And it was sort of fascinating how people were watching us more than, you know what I'm saying? Like the music, for example. And I had a cousin who lived in Europe, and he wasn't as known here, but he was really big in Europe. But he played... this was back in the 70s, and he was a percussionist, and he took instruments, incorporated them, created them into, it's like a synthesizer, and he played this heavy expanded jazz off of like bottles and plastics, and you would swear he was playing a synthesizer, and he was really, he called himself T.O. And he was really well known. In fact, he was basically paid by the Dutch government to live in Amsterdam, you know, so that he'd be considered a Dutch artist.
Right.
And it's funny how overseas they look at our culture and they'll pick and choose different things. And now with the internet and we're basically so globalized, globalized and connected, it seems like everybody's picking everybody else's artwork really quick. It's like cross culture.
Right.
So how do you feel about that? Maybe your music might be more picked up, let's say, in Japan, or would you be, you know, how would you feel about that?
I'd feel honored. Hip-hop, for one, has definitely gone worldwide. So I've seen a lot of artists that are not big here right away became big in places such as England, Japan, various countries around the world. So it would not surprise me. I would be very honored. Don't get me wrong. I would be very honored. Anybody, I don't care who it is, if you listen to my music and appreciate it, I'm honored. And I'm glad. Then it makes it worth my while that I made it. If I touched one person's soul and helped them out through life, or even one day in their life, then my music served its purpose. And it doesn't matter who it is, where it is, when it is, or what it is, you know, that's the whole purpose of the music. But to know that it did go somewhere other than, you know, my city, state, and or country, and across the world, that I would just be honored. You know, that's an honor. That's an honor right there.
how would you feel like if because there, you know, when you do any art form, I don't care what it is, you're always going to have people who are going to be critics. I mean, I don't care what it is. You can, I mean, basically walk on water, and they'll still criticize you for the water you walked on. So,
right.
How do you react? How do you relate to when you, in your own personal way, of when people give you criticism? And some is, you know, I've seen criticism that's actually constructive, that helps you, okay, I did that, maybe next time I'm going to do it this way.
Right.
And then you hear negative criticism, it was just basically, I don't like you, and therefore I don't like your music, or some weird reason, you know? I don't like the color of your eyes or whatever.
To each their own, and like I said, if they're being honest about their emotions, they're not wrong. And I would not be offended, because everything's not for everybody. If they ever wanted to talk or converse, I would always be willing to. As long as they're being honest in what they're saying, true to their heart and true to themselves, it doesn't bother me, because that's what the world needs honesty.
And what would you say to a young kid? Let's say there's a little Omni sitting there who's now 6, 7, 8 years old, 10 years old, and you know, what would you tell that girl or that boy that wants to become a musician or a hip hop artist or a music artist or whatever genre? What would you say to? What would your advice to be to if they want to, you know, make that either a profession, a hobby, a professional hobby, or actually their life? I mean, whatever you want to call it.
Study the roots. You got to go back. You got to know where you've been to know where you're going to go with music, that's for sure.
And what do you mean by your roots?
Well, hip-hop. The roots of hip-hop, whatever anybody may believe, is every genre of music. Because especially for hip-hop sampling, you're going to, depending on how diverse you are, I'll sample any music genre out there, but I also need to understand where it came from, why they made the music they made, understand what it took for them to get where they're at, to understand where you're going with it, basically.
So when you're talking roots, you're talking getting to, like, example, let's get even further back, classical music would probably be the basic.
Yeah.
And
the biggest one for me is percussion, because a lot of hip-hop, that's pretty much what it revolves around, is percussion. That's it. That dates back to Africa.
Right.
And for them, that wasn't even about music. That was a form of communication for them.
Right.
So understanding
rhythm.
Right, exactly. And then you move forward from there and understanding why that was designed for that, and incorporate that in your music. Try to communicate through your drums. And then add in, you know, if you're going to do jazz, understand the roots of that, rock, the various different genres. That it only knowledge is key. It can only help you. So that's pretty much where I come across them. I would just tell them to study where their music came from. Not understand just what's coming out now, but understand where it came from. Because there's producers out there that are making, you know, $100,000 for every beat they made, but the stuff they sampled, they couldn't tell you the song name, couldn't tell you the artist, couldn't tell you where the artist came from, what they meant by that song. And that, to me, is a little, I think, embarrassing to take someone's artwork and not even understand what that artwork represented and make something out of it. I believe you should understand what you're getting from.
And that's if somebody wants to become a hip-hop artist. But what if somebody just wants to become, you know, whatever, musician or whatever? What would your advice be for that young kid who's wants to get into the music industry or get to make music as their art form?
Well, go for it. Of course.
What advice would you give for them?
Basically, just study what you're doing and do it right. That's pretty much all I could say on that.
Yeah. Never give up.
Oh, never. That's for sure. You never give up.
Yeah, because when you give up, it's dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's what some people don't realize. You know, I don't know if you know Catcher in the Rye, Salinger, who wrote that. And he wrote, like, I think two novels, and he got so pissed off. He was actually pretty much self-published, but he got so pissed off at publishers and the industry and what was going around him, people thought he stopped writing, but what he did was he still continued to write, and he has manuscripts upon manuscript, and they're all stored away, and he still wrote. He didn't put them out, and it would be like, my point is that whatever art you're doing, I don't care if you're playing music or writing or singing or dancing, and, you know, you gotta, don't ever give up. Just keep it going until, you know, we meet our maker. That's when you, and then I guess you make it on the other side, you know,
right?
Depending on your spiritual beliefs. But what other, like, do you, other than making, creating music, do you have any other emphasis within your artistic abilities, such as drawing or writing or acting or...
I'm in hip-hop, what you would call a b-boy, which is a person that does emceeing, producing. I can DJ, scratch on tables, break dance a little bit, and graffiti-style art.
So basically you do a lot of performing arts but everything associated around music. Do you do any physical art?
No, not really. Nope.
Hmm. You know what they say about musicians? They're great mathematicians.
Yeah,
They say it's the same. People don't realize that's the same part of the brain. You know, because they deal with rhythms, and it's being methodically mathematical.
Right.
And they say they're using the same part of the brain, and they've taken musicians, and if they really, you know, I can't do algebra, or I can't do calculus. Eventually, they actually probably naturally could if they took that little block that say I can't in front of
them.
They
more or less feel the mathematics than
a lot easier. Yeah, a lot easier than most other people because they're already inclined to it. And actually, I know from old musicians that I know of, when they get over that, you know, hey, it's not cool to know math. When they get all of a sudden in their 40s and 50s, and then they're all of a sudden they find out they're, I know. People who, in fact, I have a couple of people I know who are into quantum physics and, you know, and DNA and genetics and all that stuff, but they're really into mathematical stuff. They're all musicians, which sort of blew me away when I hear that. And, like, Einstein used to play a violin, which people don't realize that was his sidekick. He was really into playing heavy violin, you know. And used to like listen to jazz on the side, but getting back to, because we only got a few minutes left here, and I do definitely want to get back into your music and your expression of your music, you know, because I know that you get into the social political issues within your music, and it seems like sometimes you're trying to have, there's like a bubble bursting with you. It's almost like maybe this is my own perception now. And I don't want to assume things because you know what they say when you assume.
Right.
It seems like from outside when you're around people, you probably don't like either. It's hard for to express straight off. So you're a lot of artists, instead of, you know, telling somebody, hey, F you, this is what it is, it's like a bubble, and it'll boom, and it blows out onto the canvas or onto their CD or onto the between pages of book or whatever, or their dance or something, and it's blown out into that fabric as an expression to show that that's their inner feeling that they're trying to convey, and it pops out. Is that sort of like, am I hitting it on, am I close?
That's a pretty good metaphor right there. Pretty much, yeah. Yes, sir.
So, and like within, like some people, like when you're around, you know, I noticed this from, you know, when you're around people, whether it's around your employment, where you're working, or in certain situations where it's even amongst friends who, you know, they're, you know, they're, let's say, and in some senses you can't really get too in-depth of what they, because it would be totally, oh my God, that's too deep for me. Or in other situations, well, we can't talk about that. It's too heavy or it's too confrontational. So in some of our aspects, especially in certain areas, like I know, like living in Vegas is more like that, more so than in other areas, like in, I'm from originally from L.A., which is less inclined and more outspoken, right in your face. And I know it's living here in Vegas, most it's like closed in. So it seems like it'd be a natural for artists to give out, pop that bubble, to express themselves, because they don't really have that venue to really express themselves. And it almost seems like in Las Vegas, the youth, because I remember I came here back in the 90s, and I was doing some work out here. I had a construction company. I was doing a lot of work out here. And I was hanging out in this, they used to have a coffee place, because it gets so damn hot here during the summer. I'd send off my crews after 1 o'clock, and I'd be sucking down coffee, not waiting around to bring them back at 4 o'clock when it got cool again. And but I'd meet all these young kids over at Coffee Roma, which used to be a little place over on Maryland.
Cafe Espresso Roma, yeah.
Yeah, and I met all these young artists there, and I go, so, and at the time I was in a relationship with a great lady, and we were very much involved in the music industry, and we were trying to open up, we were trying to raise money for kids, and anyway, when I was trying to find venues to do it here in Vegas, as I was talking to them, they felt like, I felt almost like a bubble ready to burst, and I used to tell Stella, my girlfriend, I said, man, this thing's about to pop here, because it's like, you know, they have like, it reminds me, you know, it's almost like, this is what happened in Orange County, in a sense, because Orange County was very locked in, and that's why Orange County, all these musicians popped out of nowhere, because they were like closed in, and commercialism, and then boom, popped out. How do you, because we only have a few minutes, how would you, real quickly, feel about getting your music out and expressing yourself with that? Is, I mean, you mentioned it before about, how to put it, what are you trying to convey besides showing your honesty? Is there anything politically you're trying to convey? Because it seems there's an underlying political tone in there, too.
Basically, it just drops out the honesty, whether it's for politics, spirituality, real life situations, anything. It's just all about honesty. My name is Omni, and it is an acronym standing for Open Minds Never Ignore, meaning I know for 100% that I'm not right on anything nor less everything, and I'm willing to listen to anything and or everything. That's one of my things that I'm trying to put out, because my political views might not be right, being that I don't know all aspects that are involved. My spiritual views might not be 100% right, because I haven't talked to nor learned everything there is to know about spirituality. So just knowing the fact that you are not right,
it may not be, that may not be the correct thing to say. It's not necessarily not right. I would probably say you have a different, everyone has a different perception.
Right, but there's not a whole truth out, a whole truth there without incorporating everybody's truth.
Oh, well, when you're, yeah, I see what you're saying, because if you're not being honest with the truth, you're going to skew your own perception.
Exactly.
You know, what the truth really is. But nobody really knows the truth, because, like, it's like looking at the chair, and we're all looking at the same chair from different angles, so we're describing the same chair, but when you come down on it, it's made of wood.
Yeah, but if you put everybody's descriptions together, now you have the full description and what the chair actually is.
But then again, if you get down to it, everybody's looking, it's all made of wood. We're all looking at the same thing.
Right.
It's just different angles, different things, and, you know, it's carved out differently. So, like, we all have our different, you know, points. But, you know, I want to really thank you for coming on my show, Omni. It was, I mean, I have had a lot of emails in particular and responses toward your music. They keep asking me to play it more and more.
Well, hopefully I'll have a bunch more to shoot to you, but I do appreciate you playing my music and also having me on the for an interview. I appreciate that very much.
And if you can reiterate about your upcoming show here in Vegas that you're having in November.
Yeah, our first show's coming up November 7th, first Friday. It's down at the Aruba, downtown Vegas, on Las Vegas Boulevard in Charleston. Show starts at 9. We'll be going on throughout the night. There's also going to be a couple live jazz and rock bands playing that night as well, so it's going to be a nice, diverse crowd, a lot of different things to listen to, a lot of cool things that go on at the shows. Very artistic. It's during the First Fridays, which is an event downtown where they have all every type of artistic display you can have and type of artists will all be down there. It's a very cool show to come out, so if you could, just come on out and check it on out.
Great, man. And, hey, Omni, I want to appreciate you coming on my show. And shoot me over the music, and I'll keep everybody posted as when your CD is out and how and where it is available. Again, I want to thank you for coming on my show. And all those, I want to also thank all those listeners out there and future listeners and past listeners. And I want to thank BBS Radio for producing my show. And, again, please do contact me if you got any ideas, comments, questions. Please shoot them at me, flyingpigs@artlover.com. And, again, all of my American listeners who have not voted yet, get out there and make it happen. Vote. It's your expression. And be honest about it, as Omni had just said. And God bless you all, and have a great and glorious weekend. Thank you, and God bless you all. Bye.